exactly didn't know, but her song that she picked, what was the name of it? Days of Elijah, kind of hit where I wanted to just talk about tonight. So the title of what I wrote down was, is Where To Now? Where do we go now? Where do we go from here? Right? He says it was more than 10 years ago, but Brother Jerry, I know at least 10 years ago, Brother Jerry said that he had a vision from God. So it's God's vision, not Brother Jerry's. God gave it to Brother Jerry. A vision to build this Family Life Center out back. And it's been 10 years. 10 years that we've been praying on it, that we've been giving to it, that we've tried to remain faithful to that vision. And we've had committees, and then those committees disbanded, and we'd form another committee, and we'd look up some stuff, and we'd research, and God would close doors. It was all in God's timing. But we're finally at that point to where we can begin. And we're praying still for the financing to come through as we think it will and hope it will. But I want us to look at some things tonight. If you turn to Exodus chapter 5, verses 22 through chapter 6, verse 12. Exodus 5. Starting in verse 22. It says, So Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to his people. Neither have you delivered your people at all. Then the Lord said to Moses, Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage in which they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Go in, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, The children of Israel have not heeded me. How then shall Pharaoh heed me, for I am of uncircumcised lips? So what was Moses, what was the plan? What was Moses trying to do? It's in the name of the book, right? Trying to get them to leave, get the Egyptians out, get the or Israelites out of Egypt, out of the hands of Pharaoh. What did the Israelites need to do in order to be brought out of the land? What did God, what was the requirement that the Egyptians had to do? They just had to go. Right? God didn't say, hey, if you guys will do this, then I will pull you out of the land. All he said was, I'm the Lord, I'm going to do this. All you have to do is go. Just go. Right? And so, man, I read that and I'm like, well, I know it's not exactly the same, but we've been 10 years in planning this. And here we are at the threshold. What do we have to do? Where to now? We just have to go. We just have to get moving. Look back at verse 6. It says, "Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments." He's saying, you don't have to bring anything to the table. I am, is what God's saying. I am Lord. Right? I love that verse on verse 3. Where he says, "I appeared to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I was not known to them." Man, I'm grateful that I can call him my Lord. But all they needed to do was go. But what did Israel do instead? What did Israel do instead? Don't we do the same? Right off the bat, Moses says, goes into him and goes, "All right, guys, look, I got a game plan. This is what we're going to do, right? We're going to go. God told me all we got to do is go." And what did the Israelites say? "But they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage." They were bitter. They were angry. They were hurt. So no, I'm not going to. Have we ever done that? I'm not going to do it. Let somebody else do it. Let somebody else go. Let somebody else go and do the things that God said, all I have to do is pick up my stuff and go. He didn't even say pick up stuff. He said just go. So what was their punishment for disobedience? Turn to Deuteronomy. Chapter 1, first of all, let's read verse 27. Because this is more of what the Israelites did all throughout the, they finally went, right? They got, the Exodus took place, they left. And then God said, okay, I'm going to take you to the promised land, right? And that didn't go too well, did it? Took a little longer than they anticipated, I think. But why? And again here it said, "And you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us." Where can we go up? Our brethren discouraged our hearts, saying, "The people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to the heavens. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there." Now turn to verse 34 through 37. So this is the result of them not following what God told them to do. Just go, right? "And the Lord heard the sound of your words," this is Moses, "and was angry." Oh yeah, he was angry. "And took an oath, saying, surely now one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land which I swore to give your fathers, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him his children, I am giving the land on which he walked, because he wholly followed the Lord. The Lord was also angry with me," Moses said, "for your sake, saying, even you shall not go in there." Even Moses wouldn't allow him to go in. So here we are, church family. We're at that cusp. We're going to start breaking ground in a couple weeks. And before 15 months, 15 to 18 months is what they're anticipating, right? Then we're going to have this building done, right? Doors open. Where do we go? What do? We can't, you know, this isn't the field of dreams. We can't just say, if you build it, they're going to come. Right? We have to be out on the streets. We have to be inviting people. We have to be planning on doing something to get the people to come. This building isn't about us. It's not about us. It's not about a vision, brother. It's not about Brother Jerry and his vision. It's about God's vision for Brother Jerry and our church. He is simply a vessel by which God put a vision through. But now what? I don't want to be like the Israelites, that first generation. I don't want to be looking outside the doors of this building knowing that God could bless that and He could transform this city based on one family life center. He could. I believe that. I believe that. But if you look around at churches that build family life centers, they're active for a couple of years. But a lot of them sit vacant, unused space. We can't let that happen. So what do? Where do we go from there? How do we respond? We go. We be obedient to the Word of God, to the vision of God. We go and we do. If we need somebody to Carl, I know you've said it many times, I'll wash the toilets in this place if I have to. Man. Right? I'll hand out basketballs. I'll set up the volleyball nets. My daughter, my oldest daughter, said, "Daddy, you think maybe the church would let us have like a homeless beauty salon one day a month or once every quarter or something?" I'm like, "Yes, that's it." Right? Where you invite some homeless people in and you give them a haircut and you put makeup on them, make them look nice. But we have to go and we have to do. Let's look at Hebrews. Jump over to Hebrews. Then in the Old Testament, let's go to the New Testament. Because even in Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. Right, this is in reference to Moses and the Israelites. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. Do you believe that a family life center can be transformational for a community? I've said this, I think every time I stand up here and get the honor of speaking to you, I say it. Austin Peay is 7 miles that way. That way? Okay. Northwest High School is a stone's throw that way, 3 miles that way. We've got apartment buildings. We've got houses back here, right? We've got communities. We've got Donna Drive. We've got all that. And there's people there that would love to be able to have a place to come play basketball or hang out or eat dozens of Miss Paula's cookies. I'll sign you up, right? We just have to do it. And it's not something that I don't want us to plan a committee and say, okay, let's form a committee and do this. We just need to serve the people. We just need to serve the people. So how do we proceed? Well, and I got into Acts the last couple days. So turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Don, I kept thinking of you. You know why, right? Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord. It's the first car mentioned at the end. Isn't that one of your jokes? They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So how did they proceed? Together with what? Prayer and supplication together. Then chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And then chapter 2, verses 44 to 47. together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness. What's that next word? And what? Simplicity of heart. Man, I want a simplicity. I want simplicity. I'm tired of the rat race. God doesn't call us to run around like chickens with our heads cut off, right? He calls us to serve Him. And we can do that with simplicity of heart. It doesn't have to be complicated. It could be it doesn't have to be a homemade cookie. It could be a double stuffed Oreo. It has to be double stuffed. And simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And what's the next promise? And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Got Brother Jerry's cold chills thinking about that. 15 to 18 months, we're going to have this building out here. Let's make it a goal, 18 to 20 months, to have this place packed. Wouldn't that be a blessing?
Amen.
We're starting to see people up in the balcony, but it's because we got this tape up here. But what about in 20 months that we pack the balcony because there's no seats now? My prayer is that we are in one accord together. That's redundant, but we're in one accord. That we do this together. That we think about how we can serve the people around us. And it's not sitting and waiting. It's going and doing. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your promises. For your promise of being able to see the promised land. For your promise to Brother Jerry that if we are obedient, that we're going to be able to build and have part in this Family Life Center, but not for us, but for you, for your glory. So that last promise that I read, that we can see daily people be saved. Oh Lord, we need that in this community. We need that in this world. I just pray right now, Lord, that we commit praying for this community, for the lives of the people who live around us right now, for the students at Austin Peay State University, for the high school students that are right up the road, for the elementary school kids that are right up the road, the middle school. Lord, there's just so many people around us that we ought to be busted in the seams serving these people and providing for them and loving on them. Help us to do that. Father, thank you for being my God. I pray all these things in your holy and precious name.